Started this recording.
Started now. Now I'm actually shutting the door, which you could probably hear.
Crap.
Oh, let's see. What are the levels on my microphone? Rode and a USB. I can hear it. I can see it. Life is good. It's weird seeing this interface after spending so much time in the Adobe stuff.
I can catch Rakdos again. Do I want to do that? No, I don't want to do that.
Most of the counter spells are out of hands.
Yeah, but he's got Empress Galena sitting out there.
Oh, yeah, forget it.
But I'll do it anyway. Because I'm tricksy.
He's probably thinking, I've got Empress Galena.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Phil DeLuca.
I'm Nate Burgess.
And Sean can't be with us tonight unless he is. And we are Commanderin.
Yeah, we are.
Right now, there's music playing.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We're going to put a spotlight on community issues, but never, ever talk about three banned topics: religion, politics, and Hearthstone. Remember to head over to join our Patreon community at patreon.com/commanderatmtg by donating as little as a buck a show, and you'll get to be part of making up the show.
Good job, Patreons.
This week, we have a wonderful show for you. We're going to have a conversation about From the Vault lore and talk about a few other issues you want to hear about. Let's get right into it. Nate, you ready to get into it?
Yep.
You sound ready.
Mm-hmm.
Is that playtest game still going on?
Yeah, I'm at 10 life.
Here's... For the listeners at home, which should be everybody who isn't driving. Okay, for the listeners, there you go. Nate is engaged in a playtest game right now where he's playtesting a Rakdos Lord of Riots deck against three or four other decks, Nate? How many is it?
Two right now.
Oh, only two. And you're playtesting against Josh and...
Sean Mummer.
Both relatively new members of the playtest group, but they have learned the cardinal lesson, haven't they?
Which one?
Pile on Nate.
Nope. No.
Well,
I'm not on the throne. I got the lowest life.
Oh, so now they're focusing on each other again?
They're having some counterspell cat fights.
Oh, I see. What are the two generals you're playing against?
Well, Empress Galena is a problem.
Uh-oh.
And Zedru the Great Hearted has some tricks. Azorius style tricks.
Mm-hmm.
And they both have Assemble the Legion out because one of them copied the other. Anyway.
Ah, sounds awesome. Hopefully the podcast won't distract you too much.
Nah. What? What are we doing?
You can lay waste to these people, I'm sure.
Let's find out.
I guess we'll find out on the air, won't we?
Oh my goodness.
Our news. GP Las Vegas 2017 was announced since our last recording. How cool is that?
Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It doesn't end there, Nate.
No.
We're being given three Grand Prix over one weekend. Mm. It's a threefer. Sort of. You still have to pay for each one, I think. The first Grand Prix, which occurs June 15th to 16th, 2017, is Legacy. The second GP is Standard, June 16th to the 17th. Yes, there's some overlap there. And then June 17th features a GP for some other format that just ruins prices.
Aww.
All of it is being held at the Las Vegas Convention Center in the United States and is being hosted by Channel Fireball. So get your registrations in, make your plans. We're going to be there. We are very likely to do something very special for our listeners.
Uh-oh.
Yep. And I'm willing to bet that our friends Josh and Jimmy at the Command Zone are going to try to top themselves and kind of blow it out again.
Mm.
It'll be a lot of fun to go to the second Commander Gathering at GP Las Vegas.
Yarr.
Also, the Deck Review Group that we host on Facebook is going to have a very special host week. It's coming up. It might be the week that this drops. It might also be the next week. So go check it out. Mason Dinirash, I think he calls himself Din. Mason Din Tally has all of our deck lists from the three of us, and they each represent our playstyle. So come on, give us your best recommendations. Join the group. Let us know what cards you would substitute for the cards that we have in there, and maybe give us some tips on how to make the strategy work a little bit better. You should search Facebook for Commander and Deck Review Group, and it'll be your turn to give us comments. And then you submit a deck. You have to submit a deck, and we'll review it for you. And of course, the decks are reviewed first come, first served, so be one of the first ones to get there and submit your deck.
Yeah.
A lot of shows receive stuff from their listeners. We received something very fun from Alice DeSampaio Calcul. I think that's how you pronounce your name. My apologies. I know it's Brazilian, but you're also from Germany. I'm not sure how to stress the vowels there. She sent us a package, Nate, all the way from Germany. Now, you have the pictures I took of those cards that she sent. She sent 11 custom-painted tokens, largely in like a superhero motif. She sent us 7 altered cards, and she sent us 3 mystery packages. One second while I get these. She also sent us this wonderful note that is very, very long. I'll ask her for permission. You can hear it. It's very long. It's handwritten. It's a little bit scary, Alice. It's kind of maniacal that you wrote all of this with your hands and a pen and paper, I think it's called. The letter starts, Dear Phil, Sean, and Nate. She references the episode about zombies. We actually received this in mid-June, so it's a little bit dated. You might be able to hear me flipping through the tokens and cards, Nate. Now you certainly can. Whoops. I think I cracked some of the paint. She did 7 cards. She did Icacian Javelineers. I forget what this card is called in English. Sonnenen, Spruken, Balschen. My German is horrible. Plated GOP, Kinsbale Skirmisher, Gary, Devoted Merchant, Screeching Scob, and Coiling Oracle. So some pretty fun cards in there. All of them have been altered by her. We'll post the pictures as well. And then these 11 custom tokens, a lot of fun stuff, some Marvel superheroes and one supervillain. Looks like Sabretooth. He might have had his eye gouged out, so it's a little bit scary, Alice, a little bit scary. Rogue, Phoenix, and yeah, all sorts of fun things. A Sphinx in here, a squid token, some kind of bird, looks like it's on fire. Yeah, it's actually sort of like the Phoenix effect. So there are 3 packages here, Nate, mystery packages. You, Sean, and I have to choose a package. So you have to choose between 1, 2, and 3, Nate. Which one is it? Which one?
1.
Oh, that's the one I wanted. Okay. 1 you get, I'm going to choose. I'll choose 2 so that Sean gets the other odd one. Mm-hmm. Very good. So now I will stack them in the order in which they were selected and put them back in the box so that they're easily found again. So thank you, Alice. This is wonderful. It's awesome. They're a lot of fun. I'm going to send some of them to Nate and some of them to Sean, and then we'll all have your tokens. Now, my understanding, Alice, as well, is you're relocating to the UK, so maybe you'll give Sean some tokens.
Oh.
Okay, and the final bit of news. Oh, sorry, I'm still putting Alice's stuff away. There's so much of it. Thank you, Alice. This was awesome.
I can hear it.
Awesome. Yeah, there's stuff to hear. And our final bit of news is we were running an Eternal Masters contest, and we will have those results in the show that drops on August 17th. I think that's just before Conspiracy 2.
Oh, my goodness.
So, Eternal Masters contest results. Look for them. Now, our main topic this week, we do have a main topic, believe it or not. We're going to talk about From the Vault Lore. It's an annual product that Wizards of the Coast releases for Magic the Gathering. It usually features 15 cards, plus 1 token this year. It has an MSRP of $34.99 United States dollars, but of course, it's going to be gouged, and so you're not going to find it at that price.
Ow!
If you do, tweet at us and let us know. It's printed with a very special foiling process. Very special. It's different. Some people really hate, some kind of like it, better. It gets a little bit of a bump compared to non-foil cards, but compared to actual foils from the set, it's usually lower. But we say, whether you hate it or like it, the cards play the same, except when they curl, so you sort of have to double sleeve them to keep the oxygen out.
Ugh. Or you get a vice and smash your deck.
Yeah.
In the off season.
That's where I think I'm going to start storing my cards, Nate. Maybe in a vice.
Get a group of vices, like a shelf of vices.
Yeah. What do you think multiple vices is? Is it Vixen?
Vises? Visors?
Vises. Maybe Vigies?
No. Oh, no.
How's the game going?
I lost.
Oh.
I got him to four life.
Nice.
But then he countered my chasm guide, which was going to haste everyone into smashing him.
And is that also the winner of the game?
Yep.
Who won?
That would be Josh.
Playing?
Playing, what was he playing? Empress Galena, mono blue.
Ooh.
Kept mono taking blue. The stuff. And then he played a Leyline of Singularity so that everything was legendary. Ooh. So Empress Galena can take anything.
Sneaky.
Yeah.
Let's go to our first card, shall we? Now, you did a little bit of research on EDHREC.com, right?
Yeah, I did. There are 60,000 decks total. So we're going to look at each of these 15 cards in the context of, is it a commander card? And for most of them, the answer is yes. So out of 60,000 decks, our first card, Beseech the Queen, hybrid mana.
Ooh.
Two black, two black, two black. So you can either pay six colorless or generic, or you can pay three black mana or some sliding combination in between. So it's a sorcery. Search your library for a card with converted mana cost less than or equal to the number of lands you control.
Ooh.
Reveal it and put it into your hand, then shuffle your library. Is this a commander card? Yes, it is. So it's in black, and if you're playing in black, as Sean would say if he were here, you like tutors. So this might be the fourth or fifth tutor you play in a mono-black deck, and if you're playing a multicolor deck, maybe it's the sixth or the seventh. Or, I don't know, Sean could tell you more. There are 2,063 decks at this time that use Beseech the Queen on EDH Rec.
Wow.
Ooh.
What's your opinion on this?
Well, the lore behind it is interesting. It's beseeching the Queen of the Fairies. It's beseeching Una, Queen of the Fae. The most common deck that this appears in is Una, Queen of the Fae. There's a flavor connection in who builds the deck with this card in it. If you like the idea of a winter fairy queen, may I recommend the book series The Dresden Files by Jim Butcher?
Awesome.
Those are books, so you would need to read them. They're a bunch of words.
Is that like flavor text?
It's like pages and pages of flavor text.
Wow. So if you're a Vorthos, then you really like these books.
I've heard that Vorthos players like books. Yes.
Wow, well, good luck with that, Vorthos players. One final note about Beseech the Queen. It has a converted mana cost of six, if that matters, if in your Tutorin, in your Transmutant.
So with those hybrid, almost Phyrexian mana, it takes the higher count.
Yes.
Okay.
I like the card. For a while, it was my third tutor in black, and so I've been reducing the number of tutors I run, so I'm really down to like one or two tutors at most in black, not counting creatures. So I haven't run it in a while, but I do love the card. I think I own two. The next card in the set is Cabal Ritual. For one and a black, you get an instant that adds three black mana to your mana pool, unless you have Threshold, in which case you add five black mana to your mana pool if you have seven or more cards in your graveyard. And this foreshadows the Cabal returning as a threat. Ooh, spooky.
Who are the Cabal?
They're a pretty old villain that we haven't seen in a long time. Flavor text here is, the Patriarch is long dead, but his name still stains the lips of cultists. New art in this one, too. So, Nate, is this a commander card?
Meh, not really. There are 470 decks total that use Cabal Ritual.
Yeah. It's no Dark Ritual, but also Dark Ritual doesn't give you 5 mana. Still netting you 3 instead of 2 if you have Threshold, netting you 1 if you don't. I don't think we use rituals very much in Commander.
We don't use one-shot effects unless they end the game or set you up to win the game.
Yeah, like Acidic Soil.
No, you need to cast Acidic Soil a couple times. That's a stepping stone.
Yep, to getting Rakdos out. And all your creatures out for much less mana.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's our next card?
The next card is weird. I've actually never seen it played in Commander, but I'm looking at it, and it looks kind of funny. Conflux. 3, white, blue, black, red, green, sorcery. Mm. Search your library for a white card, a blue card, a black card, a red card, and a green card. Reveal those cards and put them into your hand. Mm. Then shuffle your library.
8 mana for 5 cards.
Mm.
That's not too bad.
Well, what is the win condition that you get from 5 cards, one of each color, or one with each color in it?
Yeah, that's a good point. You're not really getting one win condition then there, are you? This goes into 5-color theme decks like Tazri, Sliver Queen, Sliver Overlord, etc.
Yeah.
Reaper King.
No.
You don't play this in Reaper King, though.
Nope.
Foreshadows Nicol Bolas's return as a villain, by the way.
Is that his hand?
That is. It's his hand. And it's his flavor text.
It's self-indulgent, I admit, but I do like to watch my own symphony play itself out. Nicol Bolas. That's
very
me.
Very British.
I'm Nicol Bolas.
Hi, Nicol. How are you? Oh, Nicol.
I'm great. Everything, all my plans are working. I got plans within plans.
Do you see them as music?
If I look at it a funny way and squint my eyes and cover my ears.
Wow, I had no idea you were so creative and artistic.
Mm-hmm. You have to be.
Right, because you're scheming all the time.
Yeah, you gotta string those webs of intrigue and webs upon webs, plans upon plans. That plan don't work out, that's okay, that makes another plan happen.
That's right, because you always have an out, don't you?
I got plenty of outs. How many outs do you need?
Well, do you say you account for the wild card of these upstart planeswalkers ruining your plans?
There's no such thing as a wild card. I already knew they were going to happen. Ha, 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 ha.
I think we have a lot of questions for you. Maybe we should...
Too bad.
Nate, you put down here that there are... I'd like to speak to Nate again. You put down here that there are 336 decks total using these on EDH Rec.
Yeah, that's not that many.
Yeah, I guess for 8 mana, you have to win the game.
Yeah. It's like, what's that card that Sean talks about where you discard your hand and tutor everything? You tutor 3 cards, but you discard your hand. Like, you know they're gonna have a set of cards in their hand that's gonna be a win condition, so if they cast it, you better take them out or make them dump their hand or something.
No, absolutely, you get those cards out of there and they're revealed.
Get them out.
You know what they are. The next card is Dark Depths. Now, we've seen this and used it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a legendary snowland. Dark Depths enters the battlefield with 10 ice counters on it. What kind of shenanigans is this? Of course, you never remove those counters. But the activated ability is 3 generic mana. Remove an ice counter from Dark Depths. When
Whatever.
Dark Depths has no ice counters on it, sacrifice it. If you do, put a legendary 2020 black avatar creature token with flying and indestructible named Marit Lage onto the battlefield.
Wow, that's bigger than Brazella.
Yeah, it is. And Emrakul.
It's bigger than Ormondal.
That's pretty good. Of course, you never actually get Marit Lage from Dark Depths, or at least rarely do, unless you have Vampire Hexmage and that other vampire that came out in Origins.
Thief of Blood.
There you go, Thief of Blood. What you're doing instead is copying it with Thespian Stage. Now, is this a commander card?
Yep. There are 525 decks, which seems low, but it is a $58 card, and that's I'm not even talking about foil.
Yeah, the foil one is astronomical. I really regret not picking these up when they were $20 a piece, which still was an absurd number for cards.
Well, now you can pick them up for, what's the MSRP again?
$34.99, but no one's going to sell them for that.
Mm, We'll see. If your local game store really likes you and you give them a reason to like you, then, yeah.
So, Nate, the next card is Hell Vault. You want to read that one?
No, wait. We skipped one.
What? No, we didn't. It's,
We skipped, this is a very Phyrexian character in the lore, isn't it? Glissa the Traitor, black, green, green. Legendary creature. So we already know it's a commander card. Zombie elf. First strike and death touch, which means that it kills anything it blocks.
Oh, or that blocks it.
Yeah. Whenever a creature an opponent controls dies, you may return target artifact card, like Mindslaver, from your graveyard to your hand. And it's a 3/3.
It's pretty crazy that this is a black and green card returning artifacts.
Yeah, that's funny. But it's the whole Phyrexian thing that makes it artifact themed.
Mm-hmm.
Like another one of the cards we're going to talk about.
This card foreshadows the return of Phyrexians as a villain.
Really?
Yep.
You think so?
I think it's going to happen in the next year.
All right.
So what do you think? Good card? Bad card?
There are 535 decks total with Glissa the Traitor, and 248 of them use her as the commander.
Yeah, she's pretty popular. She's no Alloro.
No, but Marin's beating Alloro now.
Oh, Marin's already beating Alloro?
Marin is far outpacing Alloro right now.
Ah, well, I wonder when we have Donald on in just a few weeks. We'll have to ask him if he wants to revise his pace, and maybe we'll start a contest where we guess which date Marin eclipses Alloro.
You mean all time?
Yeah, all time.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Unlike many reprints, this one has the Phyrexian watermark on it.
Yay.
Boo. And since this is the lore set, once Mirrodin's brightest hope, now Phyrexia's cruel champion. She was formerly Glissa Sunseeker on a card, too.
Hmm. Yep.
All right. Next card in the set is Hell Vault, a 3 generic mana legendary artifact. For 1 end tap, exile target creature you control. Hmm. Or 7 and tap, exile target creature you don't control.
That's a lot.
It is a lot. It's a scour from existence a lot. When Hell Vault is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, return all cards exiled with it to the battlefield under their owner's control. So, probably goes into a Glissa deck that has lots of enter the battlefield effects, doesn't it?
Hmm. What? This isn't really a commander card.
I think I've seen it used once.
On EDH Rex, there are 105 decks total that use Hell Vault. But Phil, how is this card relevant to the lore?
Oh, to the lore?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this year especially, the Hell Vault is relevant because it's a splinter of Innistrad's Moon, which apparently Sorin used some sort of proto-lithomancy to bring down and turned it into a prison for a whole bunch of demons and a planeswalker and an accidental angel. And, of course, Liliana, the Last Hope, back when she was Liliana of the Vale.
She blew it up.
She blew it up to release a demon that she wanted to kill. Didn't bother her. All the other demons got out, and the angel and a certain cranky planeswalker. Cranky. That's a good way to call the reaction to being imprisoned in a starless black void for 1,000 years.
I'm on Team Nahiri.
Yeah. Innistrad had it coming.
Mm-hmm.
Especially Sorin.
Well, Sorin had it coming. He gets some wrath. He gets some machinations.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the card Burn From Within, it really looks a lot like Sorin.
It does, doesn't it? But as we all know, spoilers, he was filled with stone instead. That's gotta hurt.
Makes it hard to poop.
Yeah, can you imagine? Oh, God. And he coming off a meal of blood. All right, so yeah, that's not really a commander card, although I think I'm gonna put it into Hazazan Tamar and see if I can't make this work a little bit for me.
What?
Yeah, you'll see. You'll see if it works. What's our next card? Speaking of foreshadowing. Oh, wait.
Memnarch. 7. Legendary. Artifact. Creature. Wizard. You might think it's colorless, but it's not. 1. And blue. Target permanent becomes an artifact in addition to its other types. 3. And a blue. Gain control of target artifact.
Mm-hmm.
He's a 4/5. An imperfection in the perfect world? We cannot allow that. So this is a mono blue artifact, Olivia Voldaren. Hey, you got something over there? I want it. It's mine now. Gimme.
Yeah, it's a permanent change of control, too.
Give
you
me that.
Get it. Oh, you got a soul ring? I'll pay 7 for it.
No, I'll pay 4 for it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's already an artifact. You don't even have to turn it into an artifact.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, folks, when somebody grabs your soul ring or other mana rock, tap it. Because Memnarch gets control of it. As it is, so make sure it's tapped by the time you get it.
He likes training grounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does. Memnarch, as we all know, Nate, was a Phyrexian stooge.
He was what?
He was a Phyrexian stooge.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. He was put on Argentum, I think was the name of the world, and changed the name to Mirrodin, and somewhere along the line picked up a little bit of oily taint, which drove him mad, as well as Karn. Poor Karn. And the rest, as we know, is history. I might have some details.
Karn and not poor Memnarch.
Oh, because Memnarch's just a robot. He's like a toaster.
He's an artificial intelligence.
Yeah, they're just like toasters. 40 years from now, I'll pay for that. But, you know.
And how is Karn not the same?
Oh, Karn's probably a toaster. Do they have toasters?
So you like this brand of toaster, but you condemn the other.
Well, you know, Karn's a planeswalker, and we sort of identify with it, and, you know.
Well, Memnarch really wanted to be a planeswalker.
Yeah, but he's got those short little tyrannosaur arms.
That's okay. You can still walk the plains if you got giant insect legs. Might make it easier.
No, you can't.
Maybe you can't.
Indeed. I only know of walking the plains with two legs. Do you think there's a horde of planeswalker? Hello, nerds. Is this a commander card, Nate?
Yes. On EDH Rec, there are 910 decks total that use Memnarch. 123 use him as the commander.
Mm-hmm. One might say he gets two thumbs up.
Ow.
This next card, beautiful. Mind's Desire, 4 and blue-blue for a sorcery. Shuffle your library, then exile the top card of your library. Until end of turn, you may play that card without paying its mana cost. Oh, mm-hmm. By the way, it has Storm.
Yeah, that's important.
Yeah, almost as an aside. Storm. This mentions the Mirari, which of course is what Memnarch was formed from.
All right.
Hence, Phyrexia confirmed. So is this a commander card? How would you use it?
Yes. On EDH Rec, there are 675 decks total, but I will say that I use it in Yleva.
Mm.
If you overload Mizzix's Mastery, and you have a dozen other spells in your graveyard, and Mind's Desire, things get very interesting. It's a very explosive turn.
Yeah, I think I've seen you use this, haven't I?
Yep.
Painful. Hey, what's this next card, Nate? Simic Love.
Mamir Vig, Simic Visionary. 3, green, blue. Legendary creature. Uh-oh. Elf Wizard. It's got some new art. It's a 2/2. Whenever you cast a green creature spell, you may search your library for a creature card and reveal it. If you do, shuffle your library and put that card on top of it. Also, whenever you cast a blue creature spell, reveal the top card of your library. If it's a creature card, put that card into your hand.
Wow. So, you see any problems with this?
Do you have Trigon Predators and Progenitor Mimics and Coiling Oracles?
Maybe.
What happens if you cast one of those?
Well, if you cast one of those, then if you cast any one of those, rather, then of course you get both of the effects.
But what order do they happen, Phil?
Well, guess what, Nate? They're stackable however you want them to be.
Are you the active player?
You are, in fact, the active player, which of course leaves you vulnerable to all sorts of top deck manipulation shenanigans from the other players who hate you.
Mm. So like you could put the creature card on top and then Una could exile it immediately before you get to draw it?
Oh no, you can respond to it, yes. So you get the two triggers, you stack them however you want. The first trigger, the search goes off. When it goes off and that happens, then you react to it and Una exiles it.
You got Una'd.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if Mumir Vig likes Una.
Nope.
So, is this a commander card?
It's a legendary creature, so yes!
Yes, it is.
On EDH Rec, there are 384 decks total. 159. Use him as the commander.
You know, I don't think I've played against a Mumir Vig deck. There's even a format called Mumir Vig.
Yeah.
It's a little hijinky. All right. Next card. Near-death experience.
What?
2 and white, 5 converted mana. An enchantment. At the beginning of your upkeep, if you have exactly 1 life, you win the game. New art. It has, what's that guy? Gideon.
Oh, that guy.
Standing in a field of dead Eldrazi. The flavor text is, lands ravaged, cities in ruins, so many lives sacrificed, and yet there was no other word for it but victory.
Victory!
So, Nate, you've already put some thought into how to weaponize this, haven't you?
Mm-hmm. That's going to be my message this week.
Ooh. It'll be like Christmas at the end of the show, or whatever your winter solstice gift-giving holiday is. Is this a commander card?
Maybe. Depending on your group's tolerance for janky wins. Mm-hmm. If you win this way, maybe the rest of the table will keep playing without you. On EDH Rec, there are 115 decks total that use this card, which isn't that many.
No, it's a very tiny percentage. Well, womp womp. This next card, what do you think about that?
It's weird. I don't think I like it.
Oh, and look what it has for the first time ever. Oh, we'll talk about it.
For the first time ever?
Yup.
It's a Phyrexian Processor. 4 generic mana. Artifact. As Phyrexian Processor enters the battlefield, pay any amount of life.
Hmm.
Maybe enough life to bring you down to 1 life right before your upkeep. Anyway, if you pay 4 and tap it, put an XX black minion creature token onto the battlefield, where X is the life paid. As Phyrexian Processor entered the battlefield.
Well, with all that life we got hanging around, I suppose someone can put a use to it.
The Phyrexians?
Mm-hmm. See? Another Phyrexian card. This is from the vault Phyrexia, isn't it?
There's no infect. There's no Scytherix.
I think we're going to see Phyrexia return without infect.
What?
Well, what I was saying about, for the first time ever, it has a Phyrexian watermark on it.
Yay! You can't use it.
That's right. Before, you were processing Phyrexian leftovers, right? You'd get these Phyrexians and you would just process them into something else. But now it looks like the Phyrexians have captured this secret technology and they're using it. Is this a commander card?
I don't know. On EDH Rec, there are 514 decks total that use this. 195 of them are Trostani decks alone. So, Trostani likes to populate, and Trostani gains life whenever a creature shows up. And this thing makes tokens.
Hmm.
Token creatures. Based on perhaps a massive amount of life.
Yep. And so Trostani pays for the life, and then this for 4 mana, you tap it, and you get that life right back. Plus a big creature.
Yep.
And then if it survives a turn or you have some way to untap it, profit. Very vulnerable to removal, though. You might get one off. And in Trostani, obviously, with Trostani out, it pays for itself. Yeah, there's no real loss except for the tempo, but still. How many life would you put into this, Nate?
Well, depends on how much removal you've seen that night.
Oh, like if
I think you're overestimating the amount of removal that goes around.
I might be. I might be a little gun shy. All my poor artifacts used to get destroyed all the time.
Yeah.
They would get vandal blastulated.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I guess we'll find out, huh?
I guess so.
It might get obliterated.
What?
For 6 and red, obliterate. A sorcery. Obliterate can't be countered, so none of those counter
shenanigans. That's more useful than you think it is.
Oh, yeah. This one destroys all artifacts, creatures, and lands. They can't
be
regenerated.
But not enchantments.
Not enchantments.
Or planeswalkers.
No. Or planeswalkers. So you put this into a Super Friends deck, don't you?
Or you put it into a Mogus enchantment deck, huh?
Ooh. Oh, that hurts.
Not that we know any of those.
Yeah. And I guess decks in which most of your creatures or stuff can be made indestructible. If you've got 10 mana up and a Boris Charm.
If you got a Zergo Helm Smasher on the board and suddenly that's the only thing on the board. Hey. Or you're playing in Boros and you got some indestructible theme. There's a few commanders that do that.
Hmm. So is this a commander card?
Yes, depending on your meta.
Yes, it is.
Are they going to invite you back if you play this card? On EDH Rec, there are 571 decks total that use Obliterate.
One out of every 120 decks on EDH Rec uses Obliterate. Kinda
well,
kooky.
Like, divide the first number by 5, because it is mono-red. So consider out of the 12,000 decks that have red.
Assuming an even distribution, sure. So yeah. Then, 1 out of 24 decks, 23, 22. That's not a lot. Mm. Do you use it?
Nope.
Nope. You don't run Enchantment Mogus, huh?
Not lately.
Hey, what's the next card?
Is that me? Okay.
Yeah.
Next up, Talaria West. Mm-hmm. It's a land. It enters the battlefield tapped. If you tap it, it adds a single blue to your mana pool.
That's a slow
but
island.
But here's the part that gets everybody up excited about this. Transmute, one blue-blue. Which means you discard this card and you search your library for a card with the same converted mana cost, which is 0, such as Cabal Coffers.
Mm.
And basically, pay 1 blue-blue, put Cabal Coffers on the field, only as a sorcery.
Gosh, what a limitation.
Mm.
So it's like having a second copy of Cabal Coffers or some other super land. Maybe you need a Maze of Ith.
Eh.
Maybe there's a problematic card you need a strip mine.
Eh.
But the important question is this a commander card?
Oh, heck yes.
Yes, it is.
There are 2,549 decks on EDH Rec that use Talaria West.
Pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm.
I like this card. I don't use it enough. I don't use Transmute enough, Nate. Maybe I'll start using Transmute more.
No, it's a tutor.
It is a tutor. Damn you, 75%. Too bad it doesn't let you go through your opponent's library. Then it would be 75% and really broken.
I'll take your Cabal Coffers.
Exactly. Because you know you're running it. Oh, this next card was one of my favorites for a while. I can't believe it's so expensive now. Umezawa's Jite. For 2, you get a legendary artifact equipment. What? Whenever equipped creature deals combat damage, you put 2 charge counters on Umezawa's Jite. Remove a charge counter from Umezawa's Jite. I might just call it Jit.
That would be incorrect.
When you do, choose one. Equipped creature gets +2/+2 until end of turn. Target creature gets -1/-1 until end of turn. You gain 2 life. Equip 2. Wow.
And it doesn't have to do combat damage to a player. It just has to do combat damage.
Combat damage. Yeah, it's pretty sweet. Another card I don't use enough of because it just got destroyed every time I put it out.
Mm.
Is this a commander card?
Well, it's a $45 card, for one thing. But yes, there are 1,473 decks total on EDH Rec that use Umezawa's Jite.
That's great. I wonder if these are just being sat on, like they're totally out of circulation and like piles of them in someone's collection. But yes, lovely card. Oh, speaking of lovely cards, what's this next one?
Unmask, 3 and a black, sorcery. You may exile a black card from your hand rather than pay Unmask's mana cost. Target player reveals his or her hand. You choose a non-land card from it. That player discards that card.
Maybe a card with madness? Maybe you need to discard a creature card? Oh, wait, it's exiling. Gosh, darn it. Is this a commander card?
No.
No, it is not. Do not
there
play this
card. There are 36
card.
Decks total that play this card.
Yep.
So how is this related to the lore?
Well, Nate, following along our theme, I just decided that this one foreshadows the return of Phyrexians as well.
What? How? What? What's the story behind the card, though?
Look. Just look at the card.
Uh-huh. It's Poison Ivy from the Batman
mythos? It is. It's Poison Ivy. I don't know. This is just my tinfoil hat blocking rational thought. But you cannot escape the fact, sir, that there are at least four Phyrexian-related cards in this set. And that's if you don't count Talaria West, which was, we all know, was involved in the Wrath Cycle.
I count three.
What? No way.
Four?
Phyrexian Processor.
Mm-hmm.
Mind's Desire. Memnon.
Oh, you're counting that one. Okay.
Yep. And Glissa the Traitor. Hmm.
All right.
So my call is, we'll see Phyrexians in the next, let's say, 2 years outside. You watch. Mm-hmm. You watch. You scoff right now, sir.
I do scoff.
When everything you know and love is greasy and oily. Oh, wait.
Too late.
Yep. Damn it. Well, Nate, it's almost the end of the show.
Mm.
You know, our patrons received the excerpt of you saying, I got a message.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Pretty That's cool. awesome.
You are now a ringtone.
It would be great to be a Patreon and be able to get that access to that easy to use file for their own convenience.
Yes, exactly.
Just for being in the patron chat.
How cool is that?
Pretty cool. So, near death experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's that enchantment that if you have it out and it lasts a wheel of the table and it's your upkeep, if you have exactly one life, you win the game right then. Now, risking the game on an enchantment is precarious, but as a thought experiment, here are a few ways to weaponize this card. Suppose you have Mirror Entity and Tree of Redemption. You can give yourself one life right before it's your turn. What if Shaman of Forgotten Ways is your only creature and you have a buttload of mana? What if you taunt the opponent who plays immediately before your turn, taunt them enough to have enough damage to kill you, and you hold a planes back for Angel's Grace?
Mm-hmm.
What if you have a Vedalken Orrery and you play Reverse the Sands right before it's your turn? That would be pretty sneaky, wouldn't it?
Can you tell our listeners what Reverse the Sands does?
Probably. Reverse the Sands is an expensive white sorcery, 6 white-white. Redistribute any number of players' life totals. Each of those players gets 1 life total back. So you can't reduce anyone to 0, but you can set everyone to 1, or maybe yourself to 1, and then you win the game. Because you're silly and you didn't set everyone else to 1. Anyway, what if you have Vedalken Orrery and you have a bunch of cards that say pay any amount of life, such as Toxic Deluge, or Minion of the Wastes, or Nameless Race, or Viscopa Confessor, or Plague of Vermin, or Hatred, or Wall of Blood, or Necrologia, or Phyrexian Processor.
Huh. Look at that. Well, if you're going to be the 116th person to use this card, remember that the effect goes on the stack during your upkeep, so you can respond to it by lowering your life total. Don't make the mistake of doing it at the end of your opponent's turn, which allows slightly more shenanigans to occur.
Oh, goodness.
We hope you enjoyed this show, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. If you want to support the podcast for all of the good things we put in your ears, head on over to Patreon. That's patreon.com/commanderandmtg. Or just give us a 5-star review on iTunes. You know, Nate, that reminds me, we have not done an iTunes contest recently. And we haven't even read some of the fancy reviews on the air. So maybe we'll do that next time. Because we love our listeners and we're incredibly grateful to all of you, especially the patrons. Mm-hmm. So come get your gratitude exactly like Henry Stukenborg. I don't know if that's how he pronounces his name, but it just sounded cool. Matthew Beasley and Caleb Cornelius. Come play test with us, and if you donate $10 or more per episode, you can come join the patron chat we host over on Facebook. Nate, I don't know if you're aware of this, but our theme song was created by you.
I have no recollection of doing that.
It was. It was. Just for the podcast. You created it. Our logo was created for the podcast by Mr. Picto. Available at mrpicto.co.uk with assistance from Kelly DeLuca.
All right.
Special thanks to our tech whizzes, Jesse Thompson and Graham Frank, and to Justin for his server space. You can reach us by going to our website. That's commanderandmtg.com. Our email is cast@commanderandmtg.com. Crazy. Find us on all the social media by searching for Commander and MTG Podcast. And individually, on Twitter, I'm at KetJack.
I'm at Copain26.
Oh, are you, Sean?
Oh, yes. Gotta go. And I'm at Mr. Plorg.
Nicole Bolas, do you want to take us out?
And that's our show.
Commanderin.
Do we need to do a lion face, lemon face? No, probably not.
Grim grin face, Widwin face. Grim grin face, Widwin face.
Poor Widwin. Getting a bad face like that.
Poor Widwin. Well, that's just the structure of her face. She's got her...
Yeah.
She's got the elongated jaw that makes her lips pucker up.
Like
she's always frowning. I'm gonna hit you with my rune chanter's pike. Bam.
Ah, I had a blast.